I am in love with a man, and his name is Jesus. Praise God. I love him. I'm fond of him. I'm in awe of him. Praise God. He's the best. He calls me his bride, and I'll take it. He's coming back for his bride, and that's the church. Praise God. You'd all know I was a maid of honor once in a wedding. I did not have to wear a dress, but I was a maid of honor one time, so I'm ready for this bride thing. Oh, Jesus, come get me. Praise God. I love him, love him, love him. Amen. Do you love him?
Yes.
You should. He loves you. He's got such good things for you. He just wants to bless your life, every area of your life. He died for you, proving to you that he is for you, wants to help you. Amen. Father, help us this morning. Lord, you know what needs to be said. You know if anything needs to be done. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful and grateful that Jesus was your idea to send him. The plan of redemption was your plan. And Lord, you didn't force Jesus to go. Jesus, you willingly laid your life down for us. So Father, I thank you that you and Jesus were in cahoots together. And you saw us and said, they're worth it. Thank you, Lord, what you've done for us through Jesus. Lord, we could never thank you enough. You gave us your word to help us. Now, Father, I am fully aware of who I am without you. Lord, I'm just a branch. You're the vine. Apart from you, I can do nothing. So, Father, I ask that as I open my mouth this morning, you'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, I thank you that I'll speak as the oracles of God. Just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. I thank you that bullseyes in people's hearts will be hit this morning. And what I mean by that is, you're going to say things through me that are so specific to people's lives and the situation and the circumstance and the season of life that they're in right now. It'll be so specific that those that maybe have not been accustomed to this or not familiar with this, they'll think to themselves, how in the world did he know I needed to hear that? And Father, I didn't know it, but you did. So we thank you for supernatural help this morning. Thank you for utterance and boldness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to John chapter 15 and verse 7. To kind of give you a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look, I already told you all my tree stands now. I'm not going to tell you my spots. Because you'll go tell everybody, and then I'll go there, and I'll be in there. I'm just messing. But to give you a little behind-the-scenes look into the life of a pastor, at least the way I do things, you know, I don't any, many, miny, mow my way through the Bible. What should I speak on? What should I talk on? I don't go through my notes any, many, miny, mow. I don't get on, I guess there is actually a website called sermons.com, and say, you know what, that would be great. No, I seek the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I seek God. Lord, what do you want me to share? Because what I would pick might not be what you need to hear. But what he says and what he does, and when I yield myself to him, things will come out of my mouth. I could be talking about money, and you're going through a physical problem, and God will say something in that money message that will help your physical problem. That's how the Holy Ghost works. So we just yield to him.
Amen.
And so as I was seeking the Lord, I had no idea what to share. And I don't just come up with something. If he don't give me something, I'm going to just stand up here and wait till he does, because it'd be a very dry service if we go by what I know and what I think and what I would want to share. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to share? And this has only happened a few times, but I was seeking him. I wasn't getting anything. And the Holy Ghost spoke up on the inside of my heart and said, go through your notes. Go through your notes. You've had me do that before. So I started, you know, I keep everything here on my iPad. I started scrolling through my notes and looking at different sermons over the years. I thought, Lord, do you want me to preach on love? Do you want me to preach on faith? Do you want me to preach on finances? Do you want me to preach on healing? Do you want me to preach on authority? Do you want me to preach on deliverance? Do you want me to preach on your faithfulness? I just kept going through these messages after message after message. And I was getting nothing from the Holy Ghost, so I was tempted to stop. And the Spirit said, go through your notes. So I kept going through my notes. And finally, I got to March 4th of 2018. And the Holy Ghost said, this is what you'll share this weekend. Well, I preached a sermon here on March 4th, 2018, after March 2nd, which was a Friday night, and I believe it went over into March 3rd, it was late at night, I had a visitation from heaven in my office at home, and I proceeded to be the Lord's secretary for, I don't remember, it was the next half hour to 45 minutes, if even that, and I got my phone out, and I was just laying there in the dark seeking him and praying. I didn't ask for this. He just dropped some things in me, and I got my phone out, and it blinded me at first because I keep my brightness too high. And in the dark, you know, you put that thing on, and you need healing for your eyes after that. And so my thumbs are just typing and typing away, and I'm just going as the Lord's saying to me. And he's giving me scriptures to back this up, and it was such a life-changing message that was directed by him in a visitation, that it needs to be shared more, and because the Word is ever alive. The Bible says the Word is alive, that it's powerful. When God says something, it's just as pertinent on March 4th, 2018, as it is October 20th, 2019. So I'm going to go back over that, and some of you have not been in this message. Some of you have and maybe won't remember it, but it's what God wants to share, and so it's what we need. And it was supernatural how he wanted me to share this today. It was supernatural how it came about. But then to share this today, I'm going to go over some things here and what he shared in a second. But in John 15 and verse 7, this is what the Lord started sharing with me in that visitation I had with him. Now, you have to understand, anytime you get a visitation from the Lord, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I had a visitation from the Lord. Oh, I heard from heaven. The thing that's going to make it legit and that you know it's the real deal is it will always line up with Scripture. God never says anything outside the boundaries of the Word of God, because He is the Word of God. You know, sometimes people say, oh, God said this to me. And I'll say, no, God didn't say that to you, because if God said that to you, He would become a liar, because He's already said something different in His Word, and He doesn't change. Amen? So when I say that, and also it's important for you to know, I don't drum these things up. I'm just laying there praying, laying down, and all of a sudden the Lord starts speaking to me, and I knew I was supposed to start writing stuff down. You know, the Bible says these things happen as the Spirit wills. I don't know why he did it this time, but there was a message that he wanted to get across to us, and it's going to help us here this morning. But in John chapter 15 and verse 7, Jesus says this, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you," talking about you now, "shall ask what you will." What's that mean? What you want, what you desire, what you need. He says, you'll ask what you will, and it will be done for you. Praise God. That's a great verse. He says there's an if there, but if we'll do the if part, man, we get the rest of the part, which we can go to him, ask him, and he'll do it. Praise God. Now, why does he want to do that? Because there's different things that you'll ask him for. You'll ask him things concerning your mind, your body, your children, your finances, your business, your family, your relationships, things, spiritual things that you're trying to grow in him. And he says, if you'll abide in me and ask, I'll do it for you. Praise God. Now, why would God want to do it? Well, the next verse tells us why. It says in verse 8, herein, what's the herein mean? That he's going to do for you what you will. What you need, what you ask, praise God. Why would he do that? Because herein is my Father glorified. He says, Daddy gets glorified when we bear much fruit. Amen. Amen. Well, what's the much fruit? Well, there's two types of fruit. There's natural fruit and there's spiritual fruit. And if you think that God's only interested in your spiritual fruit, then you need to look at your own self as a parent. Because yes, I'm interested in my children's spiritual lives, but I'm also interested in my children's natural lives. And God is also interested in your natural life and your spiritual life. And so the fruit that he's talking about when you ask, because you'll ask spiritual things and you'll ask natural things. He says, I'll do it for you. Why? Because God the Father is glorified when his children receive. And when they show much fruit, when they show the fruit of healing, when they show the fruit of provision, when they show the fruit of sound mind and a solid family and their kids serving God and things working out, that looks good to Dad. And it's a good testimony to the world. Amen. He said, I want you to bear much fruit. Now, what the Lord proceeded to talk to me about, and I'm going to just share the six things that he gave me. And again, I just was writing them down. I mean, this came so fast. I was like, man, if every message you give me like that is great, I'll just type everything down and we'll just go preach it the next day, you know? But go with me to John chapter 10 and verse 10. Now, this is what the Lord was talking to me about. So if you find yourself in these categories, I'm talking about two different categories here today and explain what they are. I'm telling you how to get yourself out of that category. Amen. Through what God said. Because God, remember, doesn't want his children in the wrong category. He wants you in a good bearing fruit category because then he's glorified. Amen. And in John chapter 10 and verse 10, we're going to read that in a second, but this is the first thing that the Lord spoke to me and I began to type it with my little thumbs. He said, many of my children. Now, I'm here to tell you the things that he told me not only are backed up scripturally, but I know as a pastor, they're true. I deal with people all the time. I'm in different churches. I see people. I hear stories from other pastors. He said, many of my children are just surviving when the life I have for them would be to thrive. Did you get that? He said, many of my children are just surviving when the life I actually have for them would be a life to thrive. How many of you know there's a difference between survival and thriving? Survive and thrive are not the same things. To survive, it means to continue to live or to exist. You're surviving. You're making it. You're getting by. Right? That's survival. Right? Just survive. Just make it. And God said, many of my children are just surviving. Now, the word thrive means to prosper or to flourish. What would that sound like? That sounds like bringing forth much fruit. Fruit in your body, fruit in your mind, fruit in your children, fruit in your finances, fruit in your job, fruit in whatever you put your hand to, fruit spiritually. And the Holy Ghost told me that night. He said, many of my children, and I'm here to tell you as a pastor, I see it. It's sad, and that's why I'm so passionate about being here and preaching the Word, because it's the Word that's the seed that'll change your life. That's why I love being in church more than anywhere else, because I love helping people more than anything else. My favorite thing to do is to be able to share the Word, because I know what the power of this thing can do. But I'm telling you, it's true. Most people are not walking and thriving, most of God's children. Most people are just surviving, just hanging on, just make it to the next paycheck, just try to appease that pain in my body, just to be just nice if I have a day with no pain, you know, just try to keep things in my house, you know, put pretty much walking on eggshells, don't want to disrupt anything. We just got to get by to another day. That's the way most people live. And God said, that's not how he wants you to live. He has a life of thriving for you. Now, you might be thriving in one area and surviving in another. He wants you to thrive in all areas. So that might not be a complete blanket statement for one's whole life. Maybe it is. If it is, God's going to tell you how to get out of surviving and into thriving. Thriving's better. I've been in survival mode. I've been in thriving mode. And I'll choose thriving mode any day of the week. But if there's even one area that you're just surviving, maybe health-wise you're doing great, but financially, just getting by, just surviving. He wants you to thrive in that area. Amen. What parent here wants their children to struggle in one area and be blessed in another? Not me. I want my kids blessed in all areas. Praise God. Well, John chapter 10 and verse 10, is it true, though, that God wants us to thrive? Well, let's see what the Word says. Don't take my advice. And don't take what I think is the final answer. John 10 and verse 10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. See that there? He says, but I have come. I love how he separates himself from the thief. The devil would love to muddy the waters in your mind and make you believe that God's up to no good in your life, that God's the reason for your problems, that God's the reason for your troubles and your struggles. That reason that finances haven't come in yet is because that's just what God wants. The reason that healing has been delayed is because God's just not ready to heal you. No, he makes it clear. I am nothing like the thief. Anything that has to do with stealing, killing, and destroying, Jesus said that is the thief's resume. But I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Now, here's the thing though. It can't be just talking about a heartbeat and natural life. You had a heartbeat and a natural life before Jesus came on the scene. He says, I've come to give you a different kind of life than you're used to. And that word life, you have to understand, the New Testament was not written in English, it was written in Greek. And that Greek word life there is the word zoe, Z-O-E. That word zoe translated, and you study that out, is the life of God. Or one translation says it this way, the kind of life that God enjoys. Amen. Well, I'm here to tell you that God is not sitting on the throne in heaven depressed. He's not. I'm here to tell you that God is not sitting on the throne in heaven worried about finances and sitting in a position of lack. God is not in heaven just overcome and overrun with fear. God is not in heaven with sickness and symptoms in his body. And Jesus said, I've come to give you life, but not just life. I've come to give it to you in abundance. What's he saying? I've come to give you the God kind of life in excess. And you think to yourself, because if you grew up like I did in old time religion, you hear those old hymns that are so unscriptural at times. It's got to be careful the songs you sing. And they'll say, oh, you know, when we get to the sweet by and by, oh, then everything will be great. Everything will be great there, but we don't have to wait for there for things to get great. The Old Testament people, the children of Israel, that weren't even children of God, Jesus had not even died for them. God said, I want to give you days of heaven on the earth. We're in a better position than they are. Remember Jesus prayed, Father, your will be done. Down here, just like it is up there. He said, I want what's going on up there to take place down here. What's that called? Abundant life. Heaven on earth. What's that called? Thriving. When you start being overtaken and overrun with Zoe, the God kind of life, every area of your life increases and you start prospering and flourishing in every single area. That's what your Father has for you. Amen. Go to Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Romans 5:17. Really? In this life? I thought we're supposed to skimp by. I thought we're just supposed to make it. And then heaven's our reward. Well, it says in verse 17, for if by one man's offense, that means their sin or their error, death reigned by the one. What's that mean? Well, when Adam and Eve were on the earth, there was no sin, no disease, no sickness, no nothing that was bad. Until what happened? They disobeyed God. And what? Sin entered in. By one man's offense, Adam and Eve's sin, death reigned. What's that mean? Death took control. Bible says the devil is the god of this earth. He's the god of planet earth. Death took over. Why? Adam and Eve gave the devil authority. And it says this, that death reigned by the one, but look at this. But much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Well, who are they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness? First of all, let's talk about us. But what is the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness? It's salvation. It's God's grace and righteousness given to us through, Jesus on the cross. Now look what he says for Christians. He says this ought to be the standard for Christians. He said, for if one man's offense death reigned by the one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Now remember, he's talking about reigning. He said death reigned, but now he's saying much more reigning for the people that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, the ones that are saved, that accepted Jesus, shall reign in heaven. Oh, you better read that again. I told you, don't take my word for it. I'll trick you. I'll sneak right up and get you. He says reign. He says the Christian. You know what the word reign means? To rule. To dominate. To have the authority. To overcome. To conquer. He says the Christian should reign in life. Now I know when I look around at Christians in the body of Christ, that's not the majority. Because remember the Lord said, many of my children are living a life of survival instead of thriving. Reigning in life, when you're dominating in every area, that's called thriving. You're not to be overcome. You're not to be dominated. You are to be the one that's on the offensive, calling your shots, praise God. That's the truth. Go to 3 John 2. 3 John 2, praise the Lord. See, you need to get this in your head, because a lot of people, they've been for years just surviving. They think that's just the way it's supposed to be, because if it was supposed to be different, God would have changed it. No, God changes things when you cooperate with Him and give Him your faith. Then things will change. People are just begging God, do something, do something. They're not cooperating. They're not skillful. And you got to get it in your head that God desires a life for you to thrive. I don't care if for years and years and years up to this service, it's been nothing but survival. And I don't care if it's been nothing but survival and you've been so faithful to come to church. You've been so faithful to serve in church, and the devil's telling you, see, if it's not going to work for you, it's not going to work for anybody. Those are lies from the pit of hell. The word of God is true. God is not a man that he should lie. I don't care what your situation looks like. I don't care how many years it's been. I don't care what the natural's telling you. The word of God is final. Amen. And until you believe that, see, most people have so much faith in just survival that you think, it's never been like this before. That's why we're telling you this today. Amen. Get you a new perspective, a new expectation. Amen. Praise God. 3 John 2 says, beloved. So what I would say, if I was sitting in the seats, I'd say today's a new day for me. Amen. Going forward's a new direction for me. There's going to be no more survival. There's going to be no more just getting by. I'm going to thrive in every area of my life. He says, beloved, that's you, the Christian. Now remember, this is written to Christians, so don't get tripped up by what he says next. So these are people that have already received Jesus, which is the best thing, the most important thing. He says, I wish above all things. Now you might think, okay, well, it's neat to know what John wishes. But this wasn't from John. John wrote it, but John didn't get the words from his mind. The Bible says that all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God. John just didn't sit down one day and say, you know what I wish? I want to let the world and the body of Christ know things that I wish. No, the Holy Ghost spoke to John and John wrote it down. So when it says, I wish, we're looking at God's wishes. We're looking at God's desires. Because who cares what John thinks? Who cares what John wants? It's what God desires for us. We can't have what John thinks. We can't have what John wants, but we can have what God wants for us. And so when he's penning this and writing this, he's getting it from the Holy Ghost. And he says, beloved, I wish. So he's speaking through, God's speaking through him in this writing. He says, I wish above all things. Now when I hear that, I wish above all things, my little ears perk up. What is God wishing above anything else for my life? Don't you want to know? Yeah. It clues us in to who he is and how he feels about us. Amen. Because if the next thing was, I wish above all things that you just have enough money to pay your bills and that, you know, those sicknesses that you got, you can deal with it here on the earth, but when you get to heaven, then we'll take it away. Then that's all you can believe for. Right. So, let's find out if that's what he says. I need to know. God says, beloved, I wish above all things, above anything else for my children, that you'd be super uber spiritual. And all your ducks would be in a row spiritually. No, that's not what he says. See, we got a wrong idea of who our Father is. He says, the number one thing that I wish above everything else for my children is that you would prosper and be healthy. Amen. That's what it says. Even as thy soul prospers. So I know your next question is, Pastor Mike, are you one of those health and wealth preachers? Guilty! Amen. Because my God is a health and wealth God. Amen. Just like you parents are a health and wealth parent to your children. You do what you can to see them blessed. You do what you can to see them healed and healthy. God's no different. He's not lesser than you are. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's faithful, isn't he? Praise his holy name forevermore. Glory to God. Well, walking in health and wealth, that's thriving. That's not just surviving. Amen. And wealth, not just talking about financial wealth, talking about wealth in your mind. Wealth in your emotions. Wealth in your children. Wealth in favor. Wealth in protection. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's what the Lord wants for you. He wants you to thrive, not survive. Are you ready to see number two? Number two, he says, if you're not experiencing, this is what the Holy Ghost said to me, I just wrote it down as it came. If you're not experiencing a life of abundance in all areas, then you're not experiencing all that He has for you because, He told me this, I am a how much more God. Now I'll explain this to you in a second. Let me read that again. Think about your money. Think about your children. Think about your relationships. Think about your job. Think about everything. He said, if you're not experiencing abundance in all areas, then you're not experiencing all that He has for you because He's a how much more God. He's not a just get by God. He's not an almost God. He's not a 90% God. He's not even 100% God. You say He's not? No. He says your cup overflows, runneth over, more than you could ask or think. He's the El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. He's not just 100%, He goes over 100%. What's that called? That's called abundance. And He said, if you're not experiencing in all areas, you're not experiencing all that He has for you because He's a how much more God. And this is the scripture He gave you. It was Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Are you glad that I'm back today hollering at you? Does Pastor Scott holler at you? No. What's wrong with him? You need me to holler at you. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Excuse me. And I think of the people that just wouldn't get out of bed today. And I think of the people that had other things going on that took up their time and their attention. And God's given them the recipe to get out of a life of survival into a life of thriving. And usually the people that aren't faithful are not the ones that are getting on live stream and catching up with what God's saying. And so their life will continue, but our lives will change today. Praise God. That's the truth. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Well, that seems easy. Seek, and you'll find. Wait, God's not a hide-and-seek God. He's a show-and-tell God. Amen. He says, knock, and it'll be opened unto you. For everyone that asks is going to receive. He that seeks is going to find. To him that knocks, it will be opened to you. That sounds so simple. But you got to have a revelation for it to work. And in verse 9, He gives us a illustration that will help us. He says, what man is there of you? Now remember, he's not writing this down. He's preaching this. Somebody else wrote it down later on about the sermon that he preached. But when he says, what man is there among you? He's talking to mankind. There's moms there. There's dads there. To who he's preaching to. He says, what man among you? So now he turns it on to the crowd. He just got done saying, if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you'll knock, it will be open to you. But notice you have to do the start. You start it. You do the knocking. Draw near to Him, and He'll draw near to you, the Bible says. But He says, if you'll do that, praise God, these things will happen. And so He says, and so that I'm imagining, see, we leave out the human drama at times, I'm imagining that people looked a little perplexed when He said that. Just ask Him, we're seeing, what do you mean? So He says, I know how I'll make it easier for you to understand. He says, what man among you, you could say parent, because He's talking about parents here, what parent among you, if your son would ask for a bread, what parent among you would give your son a stone? Well, what's the answer, parents? None of us would. Right? When they ask for the thing they need and desire, what do? You give it to them. He says in verse 10, what if he asked for a fish? Would you give him a serpent? What's the answer, moms and dads, caregivers? No! Now remember what he said before. Ask, receive, seek, find, knock, open. He says, you parents do the same thing. Yeah. Don't you? You parents do the exact same thing. And then he says in verse 11, he says, if you then, being evil, that word evil there is talking about being fallen. See, God's love compared to our love, we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, but the problem is it comes through a bad filter at times. Right? You can run crystal clear spring water that's beautiful and pure. You can run it through a rusty pipe and it's going to pick up the properties of that pipe. Well, the love of God's on the inside of us, but the problem is it flows through the rusty pipes at times and doesn't come out the way it should. But see, God's love always comes out the way it should. Why? He's not a fallen being. Now, we were fallen. We've been redeemed, praise God. We're not fallen anymore. But we still have human flesh. And we still have a natural mind that we have to renew and things. But God doesn't have to do that. His love is not fallen. It's not an evil love. It's a perfect love. And he says now, if you parents that just admitted to me, you wouldn't give your son a stone if he asked for bread, or a snake if he asked for a fish. He says, if you then, being evil, or you could say it this way, you having a different level or capacity to love than I do, or the Father does, he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, look what he says, how much more? How, everybody say, how much more? Now remember what the how much more is, because this is where, this is where we don't have a revelation of how good he is. My pastor told me that I would have a new perspective on the love of God once I had kids. Well, let me tell you about my children. I would do anything to see that they're healthy. Anything that I humanly could possibly do to make sure they're healthy, I would do it. I would do anything within my power to make sure my kids, my other ones in children's church, probably tearing it up over there. I'd do anything to make sure they're protected. I'd do anything to make sure they're provided for. I'd do anything to make sure they're safe. I'd do anything to make their life better. Wouldn't you? And that's what he's saying to those parents. See, you do good things for your kids. But he says, the Father is a how much more? How much more than what? How much more than a good earthly parent? I'm not saying I'm the best parent in the world, but I do know this. There's no parent on planet Earth, I don't believe, that could say they love their children more than I do, and you'd say the same thing about your own kids. There's no parent that I would be able to say they would go to any more lengths than I would for my kids. I feel like I'd go to the farthest lengths, just like you feel like you go to the farthest lengths for your kids. That's what your Father does towards you. Only he's a how much more. How much more than what? Everything you do for your children. People all the time say, I'm having trouble with the love of God. I'm having trouble believing God cares for me. I've been there. Meditate on this. Start seeing yourself and, oh my gosh. And say, oh, I'm not a parent. I can't understand it. But you know your pastor's a parent. And you know my kids are absolutely in love with me. And I bless them, take care of my children. You can say, my goodness, my Father is better than what Pastor Mike is, or another parent in the church that's so good to their kids. And he directs that towards me. Oh, it'll change your life. Amen. He's a how much more God. If you're not experiencing abundance, why? Because he's a how much more God. That's his nature. Amen. His nature is excess. Amen. His nature is more. Amen. Praise God. Number three, are you ready? Amen. This is going to help you. Again, this is what the Holy Ghost said. Make this stuff up. And I'm here to tell you, when I read this, it's a truth. It's a truth and no lie. I see it all the time. This is what the Holy Ghost said. People live at a level that is tolerable. That word tolerable means they're able to endure it. People live at a level that is tolerable. And because it's tolerable, that appeases them. Or relieves them, because they can tolerate it. If you can tolerate something, it brings relief, it appeases you. He says, but living at that level is nowhere near what I have for my people. Now, I'm here to tell you, testify as a pastor, it's true. People live at a level that they can tolerate. And because it isn't so bad, they've not made changes. A lot of times, unfortunately, I heard a minister say this. It was Reverend Greer, prophet of God, said this. He told me at lunch one time, he said, Pastor Mike, unfortunately, he said, most people, before they change, are going to be forced to their knees to seek God for help rather than going to him before there's a forcing. What am I talking about being forced to go to your knees? When life gets so bad and things get so hard and so difficult, what's it called? Rock bottom. What do they say about rock bottom? You have nowhere else to go but up. Yeah. And a lot of times, people will they'll tolerate a little sickness. They'll get a little relief through medicine or through therapy, and they'll get a little relief. The problem's still there. Or financially, you know, we'll get a tax return. For those of you who get tax return, we're all happy. We look forward to that all year long. or we get a little bit of a blessing and we're still a mess. We still got debt piled up. We're still not able to pay our bills, but we get a little bit of relief and it appeases us and we can tolerate what we're at so we don't do anything different. And that's what the Lord said. And I see it all the time in people. I have people constantly who are unfaithful to this place. I'm talking about once here, 3 weeks gone. Once here, 4 weeks gone. And they talk to me, and they tell me the desire to change. They tell me how their kids are a mess, how their finances are a mess, how their bodies are a mess. But what I see sprinkled into their life is little sprinklings of tolerance that enables them to be, it's not that bad. They still complain to me and write it on their cards and complain to me and tell me. And I tell them, this is what I have to do to change. And they don't make the adjustments to change. Why? Because it's just not bad enough. What's that called? Just surviving. They're just getting by. And God is here to tell you, I don't want a life of just getting by for you. Praise God. Now, when he told me this, in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that in the last days, God will pour out a spirit upon all flesh, which he did. And there'll be dreams and visions given to people. Spiritual dreams, spiritual visions. We see them throughout the New Testament and different things, that was the case and that happened. And I've had a handful of what you'd call visions in my life, not a ton, and you can't ask for them and you can't make them happen. And if you do get one, they're always going to line up with Scripture. Amen? God doesn't go outside the boundaries. Now, when he told me this, that if you're not people live at a level that is tolerable and that appeases them, but it's nowhere near what I have for them, I got a vision. Didn't ask for a vision, just laying there. I saw a vision. And what I saw was a dry desert land. And in the corner of this dry desert land was a cement wall. And in the cement wall was a faucet coming out of there, kind of like you'd have outside your house that you hook a hose to. And what I saw in that was that dry land represented lack. That dry land represented need. That dry land represented a thirst for something, a need, a struggle. Hard times, hardships. And I saw people going up to the faucet in the vision and getting their head underneath the faucet and not turning it on and letting the water flow, but banging on it. And you know how sometimes if you bang on a hose or bang on a faucet that's turned off? I don't know about you, but my shower head, if I bump into that thing after I've dried off, it drips on me. Yeah. Right? It's turned off, but there's still water in it. And people going up to the faucet, putting their head underneath it, and I saw in the vision, banging on the faucet, and little drips and drops would come out. And they're so hurting, and in such a bad place, and they're struggling so much, and they're in such a dry place and a hard place, that a little bit of blessing is the world to them. And it hits their tongue, and they're like, oh. Now, still they walk out, and there's still that dry land. There's still that struggle. But and they don't do anything to change it when God says we can change it. And they don't do anything to change it. Why? They got a little relief. And they can tolerate it. God doesn't want you to live a life of just tolerating things. And then I saw a hose hooked up. And the land was flourishing, green and flowers. And it was vibrant and lively. And at the end of this hose was a steady, powerful stream of water. And you could go up to that hose and you could get a drink. You could go up to that hose and cool off if you're hot. You could go up to that hose and clean yourself off if you're dirty. There was many, many things that flow would reach to. You could water the grass. You could water the flowers. You could clean your vehicle. So much you could do with that flow. That's what God wants for you. A flow to your finances. A flow to your children. A flow to your bodies. A flow to your jobs. That's what he wants for you. But what the problem is people don't change. Now, to tell you how to thrive or survive, God's got to give us directions. Well, that's what he did the rest of this time that he spoke to me. Because now we've laid the foundation and told you, God doesn't want you just to tolerate life. God doesn't want you just to survive and get by. God wants you thriving. We know it. Now, okay, so how do we do that then? I'm glad you asked. Are you ready? Number 4. The thing, this is what the Holy Ghost said, that makes all, except that it's all. Are we clear it's all? Or do I need to do that again? I'm about to pass out if I have to. I'm just running out of breath there. The thing that makes all the difference in the world, because I know what you're thinking. Like, well, I see in the Word, He doesn't want me just to survive. He wants me to thrive. He wants that flow going to everything. Well, how do I do it? Well, He's going to tell you. The thing that makes all the difference in the world, in a life of thriving and a life of surviving. Now get ready, you might not like this, but it's the way, it's the Word. The thing that makes all the difference in thriving versus surviving, so simple. It comes down to hearing and obeying the voice of God. That's it.
Amen.
I know, it was earth-shattering. But you wouldn't believe how many people don't do it. You want to get out of the survive category into the thrive category? You got to do two things. Hear His voice and obey His voice. That's it. Now I'm going to give you an example on it that He gave me in the Word. And He gave me a rhyme. It's going to be rhyme time around here. Get your blankies out and get ready. It's rhyme time with Pastor Mike. Now, before I get to rhyme time, go to Proverbs 3 and verse 5. I want to show you something. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Are you getting help today?
Amen.
Change your whole world. This was a message given to me by heaven, praise God. And I think we probably should preach this a couple times a year.
Yeah.
I repent, Lord, for letting that slip. And if I've missed it and should have shared it more, I'm sorry. I don't feel that I did because I'd seek Him every week. But if I did, I apologize. But I know He told me to do it today and we're doing it, praise God.
Amen.
Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Look what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to do it your way. But then He says here in verse 6, this is an invitation to you. This is an invitation for you to get out of all your problems. This is an invitation for you to get out of all your survival.
Yeah.
I'm just surviving in finances. How do I get out? I'm just surviving in my body. How do I get out? I'm just surviving in my relationship. How do I get out of that survival mode? Well, He's about to tell you. In all your ways. What's all your ways? Every single way you're surviving. It's anything, but it would include the things that you're surviving and struggling in. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. What's that mean? Bring it to Him. And He will direct, guide, or lead. That's what that word direct means. Your path. Now, by what we know about Him, what's His will for His children? Abundant, thriving life. So when you're off the path of abundant, thriving life, because of certain thing, financial, physical, relationship, family, job, people, whatever, and you acknowledge Him and you let Him guide and direct you, guess where He's going to guide and direct you back? To the paths of thriving, the paths of abundant life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I was, before I got to stand up here and jump around that crazy, I got out of Bible school and my pastor said, I'll teach you a lesson. And he threw an orange vest on me and said, go direct traffic in the parking lot. And I was like, he must not have heard the sermons that I've preached to the trees while I've been hunting. There have been some good messages. The world needs to hear this, you know, just full of pride as a young man. And it humbled me, and I'm glad it did. It's the best thing for me. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The road up starts with the road down. I love what Pastor Webb, I haven't adopted this revelation, you know, but I like the revelation. Pastor Webb wouldn't let anybody do anything in his church until they first cleaned toilets. Yeah. And if you won't clean a toilet in church, you're not worthy of doing anything in the church. It's the truth. The road up, the way up is always down. Humility, God will exalt you, praise God. And I needed humbled. And here I was, fresh out of Bible school, thinking I was going to preach up a storm. He said, no, no. You can preach to the lines in the parking lot if you want, but you ain't touching a pulpit. So you get some things worked out of you, and I needed to get some things right. And it was years. Years getting things worked out of me. Mr. Preacher Boy, you know. Ready to tell the world what I know. I know nothing. And so I was in that parking lot, you know, and humbled myself. But I would guide and direct traffic. Well, how did I do that? People would come in and I would say, either my voice, their windows down, or through my motion of my hand, I'd say, park here. I'd say, go here. Or go there. What am I doing? Guiding and directing. Now, the people have then a choice to listen to me or not. Well, God guides and directs through His voice. His voice comes in many ways. The voice of the Holy Ghost, the voice of the Word, the voice of the message through your pastor.
Yes.
Absolutely. And God will speak to you on your life and guide and direct you. And then it's your choice to then listen and obey, right? But here's what I want to show you at that verse. He sits from a perched position. He's not up in heaven when you're down here stressed out about your money. It's not bothering him a bit. He's like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to deal with that one. Nope, he's God. The Bible says nothing's too hard for him. That struggle in your body and the doctors are saying impossible and you felt those symptoms forever and you just feel like your wits end and you're just survive. He's not up there saying, oh my gosh, my child, what in the world am I going to, how am I going to fix this? No, he's got the answer. He's God. He's got the answer for every area that you're just surviving in. Every area you're just getting by and struggling. He's got the answer. He's got the answer. And so if he said, acknowledge me, I'll direct you. What's that mean? When you acknowledge him, Lord, I'm struggling financially. It's not my body. It's not changing. These things at work, these things with my kids. He's not stressed about it. He's got the answer. We bring it to him. He said, I'll direct your path. But the way he's going to direct your path, he's going to speak to you. Amen. To do something. And then it's up to you to do it or not. Amen. Now are you ready for rhyme time? I know you've been waiting for rhyme time. Got a little fired up there. We're doing this. We're going to make it. Listen to what the Lord said concerning the thing that makes all the difference in thriving versus surviving is hearing and obeying my voice. He gave me scripture on it. Now I'm going to talk about two people in this rhyme, Abraham and Lot. Now, what you have to know about Abraham and Lot is the Bible calls them both righteous. Do you know that God calls every Christian righteous? You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He looks at you as righteous today. Amen. So whatever's going on in your life, whether you're in poverty, in sickness, in depression, in emotional torment, your kids aren't, whatever, doesn't matter. God looks at you as righteous. He called Lot righteous, called Abraham righteous. Abraham was Lot's nephew, or Abraham was Lot's uncle, and Lot was his nephew, obviously. And so in their life, though, you look two different outcomes. Both righteous men of God. Two completely different outcomes. Abraham walked in all the blessings of God and had a life of thriving. Lot, if you look at his life, and because there's young ears in here, I won't even go into the depths of the things Lot experienced, but it was awful. You go read about Lot's life and the way it turned out for a righteous man of God, completely different than Abraham, a life of survival. Completely. Now, why is that? Well, the Lord gave me a rhyme. Abraham heard and obeyed. Remember, what did he say? The difference between thriving and surviving. Hearing and obeying. Hearing, obeying. Hearing what he says and doing it. Why? He's not struggling up in heaven. From his position, he sees everything to get you out of. Abraham heard and obeyed, which caused the blessings to flow and to stay. While Lot took no time to listen, which would be the hearing, Lot took no time to listen, did it his own way, which led to hurt and dismay. Now that's from the Holy Ghost. Let me do it again, because remember we told, and I'm going to go to some scriptures here. Abraham heard and obeyed, which caused the blessing to flow and to stay. Lot took no time to listen, did it his own way, which led to hurt and dismay. Abraham, what's the difference between thriving? He had a life of thriving, but what did he do? Heard and did. Heard and did what the Lord said. What did Lot do? Didn't take time to hear. Therefore couldn't do what the Lord said to do. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. Praise God. Genesis chapter 12. What's on the menu today? I forgot already. Cheese and crackers. That's good football food right there. That's good football food. Praise God. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now look at this. The Lord had said to Abram. Well, I guess Abram was in a position to hear from God. The Lord said, get out of your country from your kindred and from your father's house unto land I'll show you. And I will make you a great nation. Now look at this. Verse 2 is thriving. Verse 2 is characteristics of thriving. Verse 3 is characteristics of thriving. What is it? I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you. Curse him that cursed you. And in you all families of earth will be blessed. That's not survival. That's right. That's thriving. Amen. But look at verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord spoke to him. What did the Holy Ghost say to me? The difference between a life of survival and a life of thriving is hearing and obeying. Abraham heard. God said, do something. Abraham did it. And all the blessings of verse 2 and verse 3 came to pass in his life. And they did. Remember in Genesis 22 when the Lord said to Abraham, take your son up on the mountain and offer him a sacrifice for me up there. Well, what did he do? He heard from God, obeyed what God said to do, didn't end up killing his son. That wasn't God's plan. But what did the angel came out and said, because you've done this, says the Lord. Because you've obeyed my voice, and he goes and lists all the blessings Abraham heard and did. Now go to Genesis 13:5. Woo-wee! Praise God. Genesis 13:5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks, herds, and tents. Now remember, Lot's his nephew. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance, their stuff was so great. They had too much stuff. They could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. So their employees are getting in a scruff here. And verse 8 said, and Abram said to Lot, I'll tell you what, you talk about a spiritual man, spiritual woman is a peacemaker. Amen. Blessed are they, the peacemakers, Jesus, right? Yeah. Yes. Lot said, nah, or Abraham said, nah, no strife. No strife. Just make it right, praise God. See, stop trying to be right and start endeavoring to get it right. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Abraham didn't care who started it, who's right, who's wrong. He's like, listen, there's strife. We got to knock this off right now. Yeah. Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and your herdmen, and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we're brethren. Is not the whole land before us? Separate yourself, I pray, from me. If you'll take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. If you depart to the right, then I will go to the left. Now, so there's a problem here. Well, how many of you know God in heaven is not concerned with the problems? He's not frustrated or confused or feel like he has no answers, no hope. He knew exactly what to do. Well, Abram, who's the authority over Lot's life, Abram's the man of God, Abram's the elder here, says to him, this is my proposal. You separate yourself. Now, what Lot should have done is he should have stopped, dropped, and prayed. Stop what you're doing, drop to your knees, and find out what the Father has to say about the situation. Because why? He knows the answer. That's what we should have done. But look what it says in verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes. Now you'd think, well, that's good. God's in a high position. He must be getting ready to pray. But that's not what he lifted his eyes to. Lot lifted his eyes and beheld or looked at all the plain of the Jordan. Now notice this, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now look how good this place was. It was even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. This was Sodom and Gomorrah, but he looked at it and saw well watered, which for an agricultural society, you need that. It was so good there, it was comparable to the Garden of Eden. Well, what would you naturally think? You look at that situation when you're in a problem and say, dollar signs in your eyes, I'm following the money. Easy, I'm following the easiness. Convenience, I'm going where the convenience is. But see, God's not always in the dollar signs. It ends up in dollar signs, but it might not at first look like dollar signs. God's not always in the convenience. God's not always in the ease of things. And Lot looked at the ease, never sought God. Now here what was happening is the devil packaged up a stick of dynamite, lit that thing on fire, packaged Sodom and Gomorrah up in a nice pretty box, put a nice pretty bow on it and said, because what person sees a big pretty box with their name on it in a bow and doesn't want to open that thing? And that's what the devil gave to Lot. Through what? Well watered. Looks like the Garden of Eden. Well, what happens? Well, I'll give you a measure of it because I don't want to go into detail because of some of the things that happened. Lot goes down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Loses his wife. She dies. She turns into table salt. Well, maybe not table salt, but you know, she turned into a pillar of salt. That joke fell a little flat. Forgive me. I tried. But she did turn into salt, the Bible says. And you can't disprove that it wasn't table salt. just keep your thoughts to yourself. He gets kidnapped. Abraham has to rescue him. Super immoral and disgusting things try to take place in his home. He totally loses his integrity and character for his own children. You read it, you'll see what I'm talking about. Ends up living in a cave with his daughters, and unspeakable things happen for a man the Bible said is righteous. You know what that's called? A life of survival. Why? He never asked God. Do you think God would have sent him to a place that he's going to lose his wife? Get kidnapped and that happened? Absolutely not. He would have looked and said, "Ooh, that looks good, but Lord, what do you think about this? What's the difference between thriving and surviving? Hearing and obeying." Which leads me to number 5. We're almost done here, I promise you. Now remember what he said. Hearing and obeying. We see Abraham heard, obeyed, blessed. Lot didn't hear, couldn't obey because he didn't hear anything, did his own way, led to hurt and dismay. Number 5, the Holy Ghost said to me, most of my children, and I'm here to testify as a pastor, it's true, do not take the time to hear from me, yet alone actually do what I tell them to do. Now, first of all, is that true that even the ones that hear him, the majority don't do what he says to do? Oh, it's absolutely true and scriptural. Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word. Remember what happens with the word? It falls on 4 types of people. The wayside heart, the stony heart, the thorny heart, and it falls on the good heart. And the Bible says out of 4 people that hear the word, every 4 people, only 1 out of 4 is getting anything out of it. Now, all 4 of them heard the word. Remember what the Lord said here? Most of my people don't even take the time to hear from me, yet alone when they do hear from me, do what I said. I'm here to tell you that most people that hear the word of God, Jesus had these results. I can't get better results than Jesus. He said 75% of people that hear what I say to do don't even do it. If they even get into the category of a hearing, they're not going to do what I tell them anyways. Ouch! Ouch! Why? Fear, anxiety, thoughts, pictures, circumstances, imaginations pop up. You think it was easy for Abraham to pick up and leave? No, but he knew God's voice is best. Do you think it was easy for him to take his son, say, "Let's go, son, we're on a mission"? No, but he knew it was best. Think it was easy, son of God, go down there, let the world spit on you and abuse you and cuss at you and hurt you and put you on a cross? No, but it was the best thing that ever happened. You think it was easy for the woman in 1 Kings 17 to give her what was her last meal to the prophet? No, but she heard from God, obeyed it, and it changed her whole world. I'm here to tell you, the people that even hear the word, the majority don't even do it anyways. And that's what the Holy Ghost said to me. Now this is what he said, and this goes along with Lot. It's heartbreaking because I watch it, and I have to watch this all the time. Many decisions are made from the mental and emotional realm. That's what he said, that people make many decisions from the mental realm and the emotional realm. What's the mental realm? What you think and what you feel. Well, I feel like that would be good, or it seems like that's good. Well, he said, don't trust your own understanding. He says, but I lead from the spiritual realm. Go to Romans 8:14. Oh, Lord. People only knew. For as many as are led by emotions, they're the sons of God. For as many are led by what they think, they're the sons of God. No. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Ladies and gentlemen, God's not in your goosebumps. He's not in your tears. He's not in your ooey-gooey, mushy feelings. That's not where he resides. It's not where he leads. He's not in the mental arena. He's in the spiritual arena. And he guides by speaking to your spirit. And so if you don't learn how to follow the Holy Ghost, you'll go through a whole life of just hopefully, you know, playing lottery with your life and hope I hit it the right time this time. Hope I do the right thing this time. Life's not meant to be lived unskillful like that. We have the greater one on the inside of us. We have the fortune teller, the one that shows us things to come on the inside of us. But people are always making decisions. Well, the weather's better down there. Okay, have fun with that. Well, the money's better down there. Okay, have fun with that. It's the truth. Well, but they're good looking. And they were nice to me. Oh, you don't think the devil? Come on. Well, but pastor, the job paid more. God doesn't lead by money. God doesn't lead by emotions. God leads by the Holy Ghost. And we have plenty of examples in the Word when He was leading, and I can give you plenty of examples in my own life, when He was leading and my flesh and mind hated it. And then there's plenty of times where my flesh and mind loved something and God wasn't in it. And we see it all over the Word. Abraham's flesh would have been kicking against him in these things, but he knew it was God. Lot's flesh was come down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's go. That's where we need to go. And God wasn't in it. And it caused him to hurt. And the Lord said, many of my people make decisions from the mental and emotional realm, and I'm not in that decision. I'm in the spiritual realm. Now, this was three quotes he told me right in a row. And this is why people don't make decisions out of the spiritual realm. He said, the drive-through mentality has taken over the church, and I'm not a drive-through God. Right. Remember, if we'll acknowledge him, he'll direct our paths. But he said, many of my people don't take time to hear from me. Time. It takes time. What did he say? I will reward those that diligently seek me. Psalms 27, David said, wait on the Lord. We are a drive-through society. We can go right through our drive-through and get what we want and need so quick, and we've taken that to prayer. That's not how God rolls. And most people, they're faced with something, going through something, have a big decision to make, and they'll maybe just ask him. And I always love, you know, people ask him and they'll come out of that situation after being in his presence for 2 minutes. Ask him one time, oh yeah, I got peace on that. No, you don't. You don't have the peace of God. You have the peace of your emotions. And your mind likes the idea of it. And most people get their minds made up and you can't talk them out of it anyways. But if we take time, Lord, I'm struggling here. How do I get out of this? Lord, if you want to know the answer, God will show you why. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock, I'll open it for you. But if we think we're just going to go in a two-minute prayer session and say, in a life's crisis and situation, Lord, I've been struggling financially. How in the world do I get out of this? Lord, there's a job there. There's a house there. There's a person there. Oh, your emotions are so loud. See, first of all, you got to get your emotions quiet and your mind quiet if you're ever going to hear from him. He doesn't speak through the emotions in the mind, which are so loud. Remember the example I used when we put on the music? We put it on real low because what's the Bible say? God speaks to the still small voice and the still small voice. And I was talking and I was just saying the ABCs. Is it a normal A, B, C, D? And you could hear me, right? Still small voice. Well, God's not going to change his voice because you don't change your life. And remember we kept raising the music higher and I kept my voice the same. And as the music went up and got louder, you couldn't hear me. It drowned me out. Well, that's what's happening in people's lives. Their flesh and their mind is so loud, they get into prayer and God's telling you what to do. Why is it taking a long time? Because you got to get quiet. God's not up there dangling the carrot saying, oh, come on. No, he said, ask and you'll find. Ask, you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Not going to be opened. But we got to quiet ourselves down to hear from him. And guess what that takes? T-I-M-E. Time. To get in there, to get quiet, to shut our minds up. But most people do not take that time and they just go with the pros and cons list or what their mind says and their flesh thinks and they just better hope they hit the bullseye. When you can live a life so skillful in every area, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we'll go to number six another time. A release of my heart to leave that out for now. It actually goes in a little bit of a direction. But ladies and gentlemen, we got what we needed today. You're just surviving in areas, it's not what God has for you. And he told you how to get out of it. Hear what he has to say and do what he has to say. He'll get you out of that financial problem. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That sickness that you can't figure out, doctors can't figure out, there's no cure for, there's no help for, and you're taking so much medicine. How am I ever going to get free of that? He'll tell you. He'll lead you how to do it. Amen. He sure will. Well, my kids are doing this. My kids, you want to know how to be a parent? Lead by the, Parent by the Holy Ghost, watch things change. Absolutely. He's faithful. Father, we praise you this morning. You're good to us to give us this. Father, you're so faithful and so kind and so good to us. We thank you for it. We bless the holy name of Jesus. Thank you for our help today. Yeah, Father, I do feel the need to say that. You can't get this in one sitting. You need to go back. If you're serious about getting out of survival mode, because, and I'm not criticizing, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please know I'm not criticizing. I'm actually not much of a note taker when the service is live. But I always go back. And some people sit here, don't ever even take notes. And if you think you're going to retain an hour's worth of preaching and all those things the Lord said in your mind, no, you're not going to get it in one sitting. You need to go back to live stream. If you're serious about getting out of survival mode into thriving mode, God gave you the ingredients. He gave you the recipe. You need to get back on there. You need to listen to it. Now, if you do or you don't, that's up to you. But that's what the Holy Ghost wanted me to encourage you with. So thank you, Father. We thank you for change. We thank you for a different direction. We thank you things are going to get better. Things are changing. You're a faithful God. You are still a deliverer. You are still a provider. You are still a healer. You are still a protector. And Father, you are ever ready to bless us and to help us. And we praise you for it. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Everybody ask yourself this question this morning. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? And I know you think, well, I don't want to think about that. Well, there's a lot of people in the obituaries every single day around the world that didn't think that their next day was their last day. But it was. And so when it comes to eternity, I want to get off the fence of eternity and get on the right side, especially when it's so easy. So if you're here this morning and you ask yourself, if today were your last day on planet Earth, where would you go? And your answer is, I don't know. I think heaven. I hope heaven. I want heaven. I'm not really sure, Pastor Mike. I want you to leave here knowing 100% without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven. The Bible says heaven is easy to receive. It doesn't have to do with anything about church attendance. It doesn't have to do anything with your good deeds outweighing your bad deeds or your morality. It has everything to do with what you do with Jesus. Jesus said in John 3:16, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son that whosoever would just not go to church, it didn't say about church attendance, have enough church attendance, enough good works, no. Whosoever would just believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. The qualifications to receiving Jesus and receiving heaven is to receiving heaven and receiving salvation is just receiving Jesus, believing in him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you can say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I go to heaven, but I want to go to heaven. You're not joining this church. I won't embarrass you. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. But if you're here and you want to receive Jesus, know for sure that you're going to heaven. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you lift your hand high in the air if you've never made that commitment? Don't let this moment pass you by. Is there anybody at all in this building that wants to receive Jesus for the very first time? Again, I won't embarrass you. Just slip your hand high in the air. I'll have you put it right back down. I promise you. Anybody that's never done that. I don't like to rush this because sometimes people are shy. Anybody want to receive Jesus? Just throw your hand in the air and praise God. Well, Father, I don't see any hands in this building, but if by chance somebody is here and they've not received you, it's not the raising of their hand that gets them saved. And so if you are by chance here and you didn't want to raise your hand, or if you're listening on live stream now or in the future via the archive, and of course I can't see your hand, but you want to receive Jesus, it's just a simple prayer. Jesus said, if you call on his name, you'll be saved. Or Paul said that about Jesus. If you call on the name of Jesus, you'll be saved. So I want to give you the template of what to do. If you're here and you didn't raise your hand, but you should have, if you're listening and you want to get involved in this online, you just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you were real. I believe you died on the cross. And I believe you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life. If you pray that and mean it, he'll save you. God will become a father to you. And then your next step, again, you don't ever have to step foot in a church again. You'll go to heaven. He won't take that away from you. But if you want to receive and walk into all, so many people here can testify that, yeah, they were Christians before they came in here. But once they came in here, their money changed. Their bodies changed. Their minds changed. Their children changed. Why? You need a pastor. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven, but to receive abundant life and to walk into everything, you need to do it God's way. And he said to get a shepherd. And so we encourage you. Plant here if you want to, but if your heart's leading you somewhere else, go where they're teaching the Bible. Get faithful and watch God transform and change your life. Can we all stand to our feet and worship Him this morning? Let's praise Him for His faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. We glorify You. You're a faithful God. We glorify You. You care about our lives, every area of our life. And we give You the glory. We give You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you in Fredonia. You're dismissed. Praise God.